Blog Talk Radio.
Scales.
You're now listening to 13 Revolution Radio.
Turn me off. Cover your ears. Because you don't want to hear this kind of truth.
You ain't got time to be playing around. You got to learn all you possibly can to make it in this world.
We're exposing this thing today.
It's not the money that buys you a future. It's your skills that buy you a future.
And we ain't got no time to fool around with people who are just playing at this.
And now, here's your host, Minister Dawood Muhammad.
Is this what you want to be, their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want?
I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them. Envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal.
We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
Be his favorite. And when you fall, I will be there.
Let us hope so.
What are you looking at? Get back to work!
Now!
Get back to work!
Salaam alaikum. In the name of Allah who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, I bear witness there's no God but Allah. I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his last and greatest messenger. And we of Muhammad Temple number 13 and the 13 Revolution family can never thank Allah enough for my teacher, the Honorable Minister Muhammad X. Brothers and sisters, I greet you once again, most humbly, with the green words, peace of Assalamu alaikum. It is my pleasure, my humble honor, to have the blessing and opportunity to once again bring on guests, speakers, men, women who come together for one common cause. In this particular case, I'm bringing a person, a brother, an elder, a man who represents the life-giving message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and a person who will break down the science, strategy, and spirituality of that which we have been studying for so long, but may not look at it from this particular point of view. And for him, you know, for Allah, I thank him for that he would come on our show and give us such a powerful presentation. I can guarantee you one thing, brothers and sisters. If you tune into this, it's not going to be a very long dissertation, but it's definitely going to be one that's going to knock your socks off, because you and I as a people, as black men and women who have a brush with the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have been in the Nation of Islam, or have just been inside the construct called the Nation of Islam. And understand something, brothers and sisters. When I say Nation of Islam construct, I'm not being disrespectful, but I have to say construct in some cases because some of us were not necessarily inside what I would call the Nation of Islam. We may have been a part of groups of people who were studying it. We may have been a part of men, you know, we may have grown up in a family that raised us in it, but you didn't necessarily grow up in what we know as the nation of Islam, because if you did, then there were certain requirements that you had to go through. There were certain rites of passages that you had to go through, and there were certain things that you and I had to do. If you did not fulfill those requirements, then I, in my humble judgment, and I do mean humble, I did not really consider you to have grown up inside the Nation of Islam. But then if you grew up reading the information, you studied it, you memorized it, you recited it, and you were among certain people, but you never had to execute certain things, you never had to go through certain rites of passages, you've never had to hold a position being a laborer, well, then you didn't necessarily grow up in the nation, but you grew up in some kind of construct that's familiar. So I want to clarify that, because I've heard people say, well, what does Nation of Islam construct mean? Are you trying to limit it? Are you trying to make it imaginary? By no means. What you were a part of was imaginary. What you were a part of was transitory. What I was a part of, what many of us were a part of, what we gave our blood, sweat, and tears, and I do mean blood, I do mean sweat, and I do mean tears for, was the Nation of Islam proper, and we defend that, we try to carry it on today. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to be talking about what we talk about today, because that particular way of life, that lifestyle, and the template of building a nation has been under attack for a long time. Now, listen, when I say under attack, brothers and sisters, I'm not here to try to basically counter everything that you hear on Facebook, counter everything that you may hear on other blog talk shows, or everything you may hear on the streets. Listen, everybody has a microphone today and everybody has a voice. I am too invested in building my brand, my bread, and my family to be sitting around trading shots and swords with brothers and sisters who are ignorant and don't really know the value of what this discipline system can do. And in my judgment, from what I've seen, the Nation of Islam is the greatest discipline system there is for black people, was, is, and always shall be. You never heard me say it wasn't. You never heard me say it wasn't. I've criticized certain leaders. I've criticized certain practices. I've criticized certain execution or the lack thereof. But you never heard me say that it wasn't that. And I've always said that even the other teachers and the other organizations, the main message was not the problem. It was the executors of the message. And so that leads me to the title of the show today. And the title of the show is The Death of Satan, The Rise of the Second Uncle. And understand something, brothers and sisters. When we speak of the second uncle, this is something that you and I as a people, if you may be familiar with that terminology, you may not. But in our lessons, you have actual facts, student enrollment, lesson number one. If your wisdom is correct, in between lesson number one and lesson number two, you have a problem book. Your problem book is contained a certain amount of problems, and these problems people struggle with over years, whether they be literal, whether they be spiritual, whether they be metaphysical, science, whether they be strategic. The reality of the situation is it's all of the above. And it takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of studying. But can I just say this to you in all honesty? First of all, it starts with you and I submitting to be taught by a teacher. Because if you're going to look at the problem book and basically just pick it up and try to figure it out, that tells me you're part of a construct. You're not a part of a nation. Point blank. If you were not initiated by a teacher that studied these problems for years, and you just picked them up out of nowhere, you got them online or something like that, and you decided that you're going to try to figure them out, I'm not questioning your sincerity. I'm not questioning your originality. But what I am saying is you're not definitely born into a nation, because anything this powerful and this deep, you cannot do this by yourself. You cannot just wake up one day and decide you're going to go line by line to the problems and think that you're going to have wisdom. That study needs to be guided by an elder, by an initiated one. And when we are not initiated by an elder, then quite frankly, we're just taking shots into the wind. And how do you know you're even in the right forest? How do you know you're even in the right plane, you know, right plane? And so therefore, brothers and sisters, by God's grace, I have a good relationship with my elder, Ahmed K.O. Shabazz. And he is a man that I respect. He is a man that I love. I love talking to. I always love hearing his voice. I'm so busy trying to build, again, my family, my financial status, and my brand and stuff like that sometimes I don't get to talk to him always. But it's always love. And I'm so glad that even though a lot of times I may not answer his call or I may not be there to talk to him, that he always calls and, you know, he is very patient with me. And so, therefore, we were on a thread together. And someone was talking about the title of the thread, I believe, was that the elders dropped the ball. See, I have a near photographic memory. And so, therefore, we all were giving our commentary because this is true. And so, Elder, I said on the thread, I said, there is no elder that I trust more than, there's no elder I trust more. And I also said that I know some very progressive elders, one of them being my brother and my elder, Ahmed K.O. Shabazz. And so then he came on the thread and we talked about it for a couple of seconds, and he talked about the second uncle. And I asked him most humbly, would he come on my show and talk about this second uncle? So by Allah's grace, he accepted. We rescheduled the show a couple of times, but it is my pleasure, my humble honor, to bring in my elder, Ahmed K.O. Shabazz. As-salamu alaykum, sir. Are you there? Sir, are you there? Sir? Okay. Okay, brothers and sisters, it looks like he has not necessarily called in just yet. I thought that was him on the line, but I guess it's not. So I guess I'm going to play a couple of things to see if I can call him. I'll be right back.
How did you lose them? The treatment for my spine affects my DNA. You sacrificed your power so you could walk. I sacrificed my power so that I could sleep. What do you know about it?
I've lost my fair share.
Huh. Dry your eyes, Eric. It doesn't justify what you've done.
You've no idea what I've done.
I know that you took the things that mean the most to me.
Well, maybe you should have fought harder for them.
If you want to fight, Eric, I will give you a fight!
Let him come.
You abandoned me! You took her away and you abandoned me!
Angel. Azazel. Emma. Banshee. Mutant brothers and sisters, all dead! Countless others! Experimented on! Butchered! Eric, where were you, Charles? We were supposed to protect them! Where were you when your own people needed you? Hiding! You and Hank, pretending to be something you're not!
Eric!
You abandoned us all!
Back, brothers and sisters, and everything seems to be well. It is my pleasure and my honor to bring forward my elder, Ahmed K.O. Shabazz. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you this evening?
Fantastic, sir. How you doing?
I am fine. I am fine. All praises due to Allah. And, I was on the line. I heard you, but you weren't hearing me. So,
yes,
I guess we got a bad connection. Yes, sir.
Sorry.
Not technology. That's okay. That's all right. Thank you for the kind words, introduction. I try to be progressive as I can. I'm conservative. Everybody is. I'm just trying to conserve our heritage.
Right.
Put it like that.
Right.
Everybody's conservative. It depends on what you're trying to conserve.
Right.
I'm not one of those Uncle Toms that's trying to conserve Americanism. Don't get me wrong when I say conservative. I'm trying to conserve the teachings that we were brought up on, which is the new Islam of Master Farad Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Right.
And I thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. It's absolutely my pleasure, my honor, and no problem. And from my family to you, we appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can do this every other week. and we'll pick a day, and we'll try to make it that day. If not, then we'll do something else, because, you know, I'm doing what I used to do now, so I'll be going out of town a lot more. But be that as it may, I'll still try to do the show from out of town. So either way,
okay.
Let's jump on into this. So if you could, because it's been a while since you've been on the show, sir, can you please give the listeners a little bit of your background in Islam and your background in your great study of history?
Okay, well, briefly, I've been a Muslim since the age of 15. I've been a member of the Nation of Islam since 1980. And I came in under when Mr. Farrakhan was trying to jumpstart back in early 80s. I signed my, submitted the letter and passed the student enrollment, and then some things happened within that organization, and I ran into the blood brother of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, late Minister John Muhammad, became been a correspondent with him for a number of years. I was writing for a local paper there in Gary, Indiana, teaching Islam as best as I could then, and would submit my letters or my essays to Brother Minister John for his approval. Like you say, you submit yourself to your teacher, your elders, to see if I was teaching correctly, you know. And later moved to Detroit, taught a little bit in the University of Islam, helping out Brother Minister John Muhammad. And then I began to study Islam, the Islamic history of the pioneers under the Minister John Muhammad, another one of the Messenger's blood brothers. Also had the opportunity to understand Islam as from the pioneer's perspective of Minister Johnny Muhammad. And you know, he was a aeronautical engineer. He studied the flight. That was his expertise.
Right.
And of course, I met another pioneer while at the same temple there in Number One, Michigan, under Minister John Muhammad. A great man who I fall back on a lot of his wisdom today, and that's Brother Lieutenant, the late Lieutenant Ali Hassan, who was a chauffeur for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Minister John Muhammad was the recorder for Master Farab Muhammad. He would record the names into the Book of Life. So I have the background of the history of the Nation of Islam from the pioneer's perspective. I had to learn what they knew, some of that history.
Right.
I wanted to know the foundation. And so what better people to meet? And I thank Allah for blessing me to meet them while they were here. And so, yes, I've been a Nation now 35 years. I've been a writer for over 25 or more years. I wrote briefly for the Muhammad's newspaper, Muhammad Speaks, about 10 years out of Detroit. So, yeah, I'm a Muslim by nature and by faith and practice. I try to be. And Allah blessed me to write my book, The Death of Satan. Yes, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You do agree with what I was saying earlier, which is that, you know, many people consider themselves to be have grown up in or was a part of, quote-unquote, the Nation of Islam. And to me, if you did not go through, because I'm listening to what you're saying, that, you know, you were around some very powerful pioneers, and they taught you and they initiated you and they raised you up. And, you know, so much so that you were around the person who recorded names from Master Farab Muhammad, which flies in the face of all those that, you know, say this and that about him. We won't get into it. But either way.
Right.
My premise is that if you did not grow up in this kind of, you know, basically if you did not grow up in this kind of apprenticeship, if you did not serve a post, if you did not hold a laboring post, if you did not go through all of the initiations, then you are part of a Nation of Islam construct, but not necessarily a Nation of Islam.
That is correct. Yes, because, see, you know, you were brought in, they were still at the time, submitting your letter to the Savior.
Right.
And then you had to do your student enrollment. I had, you know, my heart. And
right.
And then Brother John Muhammad, when I moved to Detroit, I, you know, was in the FOI, and he pulled me into becoming the secretary, an assistant to the secretary of the temple. From there, he allowed me to teach a history class and political science class there at the university for briefly.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, the people were pulled out of the ranks of the FOI and MGT, the officials. That's how it was done in inside the nation, the way it was set up by Master Farah Muhammad. And I must say, Minister John Muhammad did a fantastic job with teaching us the root and the foundation of what Master Farah Muhammad and his brothers laid for us as a people.
Yes.
And that is the history. The history is very important. And the understanding of the lessons and the problems, the real core meaning in these lessons and problems was taught by the pioneers.
Okay. So can you...
And that's what's missing today, the core meaning, you know.
Yeah, that's powerful, sir. I mean, I'm like, okay,
yes,
we got to move on, but I would really like to dwell on that, you know what I mean, because that's just so powerful. But either way, you know what, I just have to take notes and come back to that on another show. But
okay,
can you tell our listeners how you ended up writing the book Death of Satan? And then I heard a rumor that there will be a Death of Satan Part 2. So can you tell them what that would be about?
First question, the Death of Satan is a compilation of essays that I wrote over the past 30 years or so, and along with other interesting ideas or writings from others, and is compiled in my book, The Death of Satan, which can be, you can get that book on, purchase that book on Amazon.com, Create Space, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million.
Right.
And now the second book, it's a book that I wrote years back, nearly 20 years ago, maybe about 15, 16 years ago. I wrote a short story, sci-fi, and based in the teachings of the messenger. And my son, as I was trying to rack my brain on A Death of Satan 2, he proposed that I tweak this already written story, because it's timely, it's happening now as we speak, and do something else with that. So it's not going to be the Death of Satan Volume 2, but it's another project that myself and my son is working on. So hopefully, Allah willing, maybe we can have this out maybe a year from now, hopefully, because we want it to be a good one, you know. Something that can grab your attention and you can get some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding out of it. And well as being entertained by it, you know, make you think, you know. So,
it's
going to be a second book if it pleases Allah, but it won't be The Death of Satan. The Death of Satan is that.
Right. Okay.
That's the Satan. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's no part two. I got you.
No part two.
Yes, sir.
So, you wanted to deal with that second uncle. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just got one more question before we get into that.
Yes, sir.
You
go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You wanted to, me and you were talking, and you were fired up about this principle that fired other teachers for teaching black history studies. So I guess I want to ask you, how does that relate to you and your upbringing in history, and what is your thoughts on that?
For the past few, I'm going to say, I'm going to say for the past maybe 10 years, this seems to be an agenda. A bunch of Negropeans or graham crackers, Uncle Toms, whatever self-hating blacks have popped up and are actually helping the white supremacists attack their own people.
Right.
And what boils me is they sounded more like the Klan. They sounded like the Klan
right.
used to outwardly act towards us. And these are coming from black people.
Right.
Now, when I was growing up in school, wasn't a perfect education for public school, but at least we got African studies and,
right.
and history.
Right.
It was pushed. They pushed black history. They pushed black pride. And I'm not talking about Negro pride. Black pride.
Right.
Right. And the students. And the
right.
the get into the study habits of learning all you can about yourself. We were so into our black history that Anheuser-Busch, the beer company, started promoting the great kings and queens of Africa, if we will remember. For those of us
right.
old enough to remember that. Now, here
right.
you come, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And at a historically black college, Howard University, you have a school that sits on the campus of Howard University, a middle school that is
right.
all black, and then a so-called black principal, a woman, or I would say a
mm-hmm.
female,
mm-hmm.
a black female, because a black woman wouldn't have came across her mind to fire teachers
right.
for doing a job,
right.
which is to teach their black students their history.
Right.
So when you have situations like her and Charles Barkley and in some
mm-hmm.
respects Mr. Obama, and you know, before he got gruesome here recently, he grew a pair of something because
mm-hmm.
he, you know, whatever his reason for trying to be cocky.
Right.
The coonery of Al Sharpton, the coonery of Jesse Jackson, Jesse Lee Peterson, the great surgeon, Ben Carson.
Right.
When these Negroes and Juan and who is this guy on Fox, this Negro on Fox?
His
name is Juan.
Juan
Cole.
He got fired from NPR.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When you have this open attack and this police brutality, this is reminiscent of a plantation.
Right.
See? And little do these little Negroes and Niglets know that when the white man, so-called white man, gets through with them attacking their people for him, he's going to get rid of them
right.
first.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
it upset me because of the circumstances that this was happening. You know, I couldn't,
right.
I said, what? So, yeah, I was really upset, to say the least, and that's really being mild with it. Yeah,
right.
it also points to a fact where
right.
we need our own institutions. Yes, yeah, I'm
right.
sorry.
Oh, no, I guess I just wanted to ask a question to add, because it's like these people, the worst thing about these people that we're talking about is they all know. It's not like they don't know. They're not from the
mm-hmm.
first generation who just came from to America and have spent time in the slavery trade and things like that. These are men and women who are second generation. They learned, they saw from examples and things like that. And for them to be doing what they're doing, it's like they know, and they still profess or continue on trying to deprive the young of the knowledge and deprive the young of the right view, even though they know. Am I right about that?
Yes, and see, they're worse than the our forefathers who did not know and was
right.
brainwashed into accepting this white supremacist system, so-called white supremacist
right.
system, this racist system,
right.
out of fear.
Right.
That's all they knew. But here you have
right.
a second generation from the sharecropping or the great migration eras of the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Right.
Who grew up learning and seeing the great change and seeing and witnessing history being made before their eyes. And all of a sudden you think our children don't need to know this history and beyond this. Not just the history of what we had to deal with here in the United States, but the history of our people going back thousands and even millions of years.
Right.
Well, I mean, they're worse than a brother of ours, Brother Suleiman Abdel Rahman, put up a letter from Carter G. Wilson earlier this week from 1927 on the real reason for so-called Negro History Week, which morphed into Black History Month. But it wasn't just about the history of us here. It was a study of African civilizations was the main focus of him promoting this so-called Black History Month, which was started out as Negro History Week. And he was running, and he in 1927, were up against the same type of dead mindset that we're running into in 2015 with this so-called Black president.
Right, right.
They've all seemed to have gotten the marching orders from their slave masters to attack their people.
Right.
Because white man himself cannot come out right today and do this. So he uses who? The overruler, Sambo.
Right.
If you read Uncle Tom's Cabin, Sambo, the character in Uncle Tom's Cabin, book, the Uncle Tom's Cabin, the character of Sambo was worse than the slave master was.
Right.
And he was worse than Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was for his people, but Sambo was a self-hating Negro. And that's who we have today, a bunch of Sambos.
Gotcha.
They're the buffer between the white racist system and the Black masses.
Right.
And we have to deal with them first, their internal enemy. We have to isolate them, shame them, and stop supporting them. Period.
Right. Okay. So
remove the buffer.
So you wanted to get into the wives of the second uncle. Did you want me to read the problem real quick, or how you want to do it?
Yeah, you can read that problem. For those who have never heard of it, we're going to be reading and dealing with problem number 6, right?
Right. Well, I was going to read 1, then 6, because 1 deals with the first uncle and then 6 deals with the second.
That is correct. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so problem number 1. The uncle of Mr. W.D. Farrar lived in the wilderness of North America, and he lived other than his own self. Therefore, his pulse beat 78 times per minute, and this killed him at 45 years of age. How many times did his pulse beat in 45 years? That's problem number 1. Problem number 6 says, the second uncle of Mr. W.D. Farrar in the wilderness of North America lived other than himself, and therefore his blood pressure registered over 32. He had fever, headaches, chills, grip, hay fever, regular fever, rheumatism, also pain in all joints. He was disturbed with foot ailments and toothaches. His pulse beat more than 88 times per minute. Therefore, he goes to the doctor every day and gets medicine for every day in the year, one after each meal and 3 times a day. Also, one at bedtime. He goes further to say, the average person breathes 3 cubic feet of air per hour, but the second uncle of Mr. W.D. Farrar breathes 4.5 cubic feet of air per hour. 500 pills equals 1 pound. So that killed him at the age of 46. How many pounds of pills did Mr. W.D. Farrar's second uncle use in 46 years? How many cubic feet of air did he breathe in 46 years? If the air value, selling price, then the third uncle of Mr. W.D. Farrar would have been robbed of the atmosphere. How much air did he breathe more than the average man? Each cubic foot of air costs $10.50. How much does $10.50? How much does Mr. W.D. Farrar's second uncle rob in 46 years? 20 pills cost 25 cents. How much does this amount to in 46 years? Once a week, he gives the doctor $250 for renewing the prescription. And 52 weeks equal 1 year. So Mr. Mahoney wants to know how much money was spent for the pills and how much for the doctor. That's problem number six.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I guess the first question is, why did he refer to us as his uncle?
All right. Master Farad Muhammad, he is the great Mahdi. And the great Mahdi is himself the son of an original man.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
The great Mahdi's mother is a Caucasian. And she was from the Caucasus, or from the Kashmir, as we were taught. Therefore, the reference of uncle, meaning that we are his father's brother.
Yes.
And the if we are his father's brother, he is denoting kinship, bloodline with us.
Right.
That's what he's getting at, the uncle.
Okay.
Also mentioned the aunt, right?
Yes.
Which is the wife of the uncle. Right.
Yes.
His father's sister.
Right.
The woman, the black woman of this tribe of Shabazz.
Right.
Just terms to denote kinship. We are related to Allah.
Right.
Through blood, through DNA.
Right.
Direct bloodline. Through his father's side.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So, in light of that, why is there a first uncle and a second uncle? And what does that mean?
From what I understand and from what we were taught in the temple, the first uncle would be the first generation to hear Islam at the coming of the great Mahdi, Master Farad Muhammad. That first generation.
Right.
That was around during that time, which would be those persons, such as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those men and women who came into the Nation of Islam during that time. Their age group, that generation would be the first generation.
Right.
And then their children, on average, would be the second generation, or that second aunt, uncle. Where were they born? Around what? Late 20s, early 1930s? Up to what? Maybe the 40s, mid-40s?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of those people would be my parents' age. You got me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Or our parents' age. But in that lesson, problem number six, due to the ailments and him living other than himself and not following the instructions, he was robbing the third uncle of the third uncle's atmosphere.
Right.
Correct? Right. And history has shown that. Master Farad Muhammad was giving us a warning in this book, 34 Problem Book. He addressed 34 problems that we as a nation were facing before the judgment. And the removal of the Antichrist, or Satan, right?
Right.
So we had 34 problems to solve. And number six problem is a great problem for us because we've been dealing with number six for 40 years. We've been dealing with number six for the past 40 years after the passing of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. After the passing of the messenger, the second uncle rose and robbed the third uncle, our generation, of our atmosphere. Nothing has taken place in the way of infrastructure, building upon what was left in place by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But after the messenger, it was dismantled.
Yes. Yes.
Working along with the United States government.
Right.
That's robbing the people of their atmosphere.
Right.
And so, you know, it's no need for me to name names. Look back over the history.
Right.
I don't care who you following, and that has been the issue.
Yes.
And earlier on in our conversation, you were talking about these lessons. You are supposed to sit down and go over these lessons with the books that the messenger wrote. Am I correct?
Yes.
It's nobody's job to do that but yours.
Yes.
My job as a minister is just to guide you to Muhammad.
Right.
And teach you the proper instructions. It's up to you to apply it and to study it so you can apply it to your life.
Right.
You follow the message that the messenger received from Allah in person.
Yes.
You don't follow people who can speak well. Just because they can speak well, you don't follow them. You follow the message. You're supposed to follow Allah.
Right.
When the messenger is not here, who am I going to follow? You follow Allah. Okay, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of what I'm getting at. Because, see, our people caught up on following a person. Did Yaqub see Caucasians? That's my question to you, Brother Minister Dawood. Did he see any Caucasians?
No, sir. He did not live to see them.
He did not live to see them.
No, sir.
He wrote instructions, as the lessons say, on how to manufacture a devil, didn't he?
Absolutely. Yes, sir, he did.
He left instructions.
And he made sure they executed it, too.
He made sure, and his followers made sure after he died that those instructions were what? Carried out.
To the letter. Yes, sir.
To the letter.
Yes, sir.
To make a enemy of the black man.
Right.
Okay. Apply the same principle after the messenger is gone, which he's been gone for 40 years.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Follow the instructions.
1975 to now is 4 years.
That's right, 40 years. All the elders who were older than us had to do, the second uncle, was do what?
Carry on.
Follow. That's
right.
It.
Right.
We're supposed to be near gods right about now. It takes 42 years to make a god.
Right. Right.
It takes 42 years to make, if you with diligence. God, small g, I'm talking about.
Right.
So they robbed us. Atmosphere. They robbed us of our atmosphere.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. So, well, let me ask you this, sir. I mean, because in the lesson it talked about, and we spoke about it, it talked about the stealing of oxygen. And we wanted to go into this in a spiritual sense. Now, what does that represent according to what you've learned and understand?
Yes, the cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're dealing with here?
Yes, sir.
If Master Farah Muhammad put $10 each cubic foot, isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
That's kind of expensive.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's kind of valuable, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we were robbed of this. What do we have today as a people after being robbed for 40 years of this air, this oxygen?
That's right.
Huh?
That's right, sir.
This nitrogen, this carbon dioxide that we need to grow as a people.
Right.
See how costly it has been for us.
Right.
As a people. It's been costly.
Right.
We have no schools. See, if we had schools set up and maintained from 1975 to now, we wouldn't be dealing with our children wouldn't have to be dealing with what we see going on in these cities.
Right. Right.
We wouldn't be suffering from underemployment.
Right.
We will have black-owned and operated businesses,
right.
Farmland, growing non-GMO frankenfoods,
right.
And cattle. We'd have that. We had that under the messenger, but we haven't had that since his passing, because people
right.
stuck on him not being here. Still being here. They're being taught spook. They've been taught lies for the past 40 years. One person is saying he's alive. Then you got another group saying that their leader is God. Then you got another one, the fired Master Farah Muhammad, talking about he God now.
Right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us in Our Savior Has Arrived about these self-exalted leaders who will
yes.
divide the people and ruin
right.
us.
Right.
Hasn't it happened?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I'm sorry if somebody out there getting upset. I'm talking about your leader. That's the issue. You ain't supposed to have that man. Look, you work with ministers. If he's a good administrator, and he's in the area where there are people willing to accept this truth, you all work with the minister. Y'all work
right.
together as a council, as a team. You don't follow
right.
him.
Right.
You follow the message. We don't yeah. waste time out for this personality cults.
Right.
Worshiping preachers. You know better than a Christian. Worshiping the pastor.
Right. Right.
Jews hanging on every word of a rabbi without even researching it themselves. The Holy Quran condemns being a blind follower. If you read the Holy Quran 17:36, it condemns you being a blind follower.
Right.
Period. Because Allah tells you in that verse to research and verify all information that comes before you, because He gave you eyes, brains, and ears, and wants us to use them. So there goes that blind
right.
follower.
Right.
See, you're commanded by God to research. He don't want you holy and stupid at the same time. You can't be holy and dumb at the same time. And only a devil worshiper would tell you you could be holy and dumb at the same time. Just hang on my word and you don't have to research. You're following a devil or a helper of him if you're listening to something like that.
Right. Right. Now, let me ask you something, sir, because you know from being connected to me how heavy I am into separate territory, land infrastructure, nationhood. And I myself, through my studies, know in my heart that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad not only wanted us to have communities here in America, but I know for a fact that he wanted us to have, you know, a nation state elsewhere. Can you please talk about that? Because there are people who think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he only wanted to build in America, and he only wanted to build buildings in America and just stay here and that's it. But I know in my heart from reading his teachings and studying, and I will come out with some of these paragraphs in future shows, that he did want to establish territory and an extension of the nation off the continent of America. Can you please speak to that?
Yes, sir. Well, he told you that on the front of Muhammad Speaks when he was alive. Well, look at the logo.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
You got black men reaching across the planet, locking arms.
Right.
In unity. From the east to the west.
Right.
That's it. The message also used to say either we have a separate land and territory here or elsewhere.
Right. Right. Right.
See? What hasn't happened, and we're going to try to make it happen one of these days, is to do what the messenger told us to do, is to take his message and his demands before the Congress.
Yes, sir.
Not the UN. He didn't tell us to go to the UN. He told us to go to the Congress.
Right.
Stop being hard-headed. And learn political science, then you understand why he told us to take his message, his demands, what the Muslims want, and what we believe to Congress. Didn't he tell us to do that? Take the blueprint to the Congress.
Yes,
not the UN. The Congress.
Now, there are many, many leaders who represented Peace, Honor, Blood, and Muhammad that have gone to Africa, the country of Africa, or different continents in Africa, I should say, because it's not one country. It's divided up many different. So either way, there have been people that have gone over there to places like Ghana and said other nations in Africa and were supposed to establish are supposed to establish territory for us so that we could send men and women over there to learn how to build infrastructure, to learn the skills, and that didn't happen. That, for me, and me and you, long before we became friends, I remember me and you having this discussion in Scientology, that Scientology group, Scientology taking over the black community, and we were talking about this, and we, because I, that really, really, really disappointed me, because I'm a child of a man who, you know, is in a trade. So when they were talking about that and saying we would have dual citizenship and we would, you know, be able to learn skills and be an apprentice and things like that, that really, really excited me. But that didn't happen. Can you, how do you think that, because to me, when you look at the prophecy and he says that second uncle robbed the third uncle of his atmosphere, to me, that's part of that prophecy.
It is. All of the blocking of progress has been the work of the second uncle for this past 40 years.
Right.
Even down to that. See, they've been making these promises to us and have not fulfilled them.
Right.
Doable promises. These things that they were promising us third uncle generation, this third generation from the coming of the great Mahdi. They made a lot of promises over the years, if you remember. A lot of them. They talked bold and said they're going to do this, that, and the other. I haven't seen anything.
Nothing.
Well, you don't have a grocery store in a major city where your headquarters is, something is definitely wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A grocery store. Yeah, you're taking in millions of dollars and they don't have a grocery store nor a clinic. Basic infrastructure in the black community are not being met. And it's not wasn't just for Muslims. Our job as Muslims under the Nation of Islam is to protect and elevate our people, black folks, here and elsewhere. We have to start here first.
Right.
Right?
Right, yes, sir.
This is not a religious fraternity. This is our job. This is our duty.
Right.
When we came up under this study, we gave surely my prayers, my sacrifice, my life, and my death.
My life and my death.
Who?
All for Allah. All for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds.
Okay. You take an oath.
That's an oath.
That's an oath.
Right.
You talk about oaths. Some of y'all taking some oaths. You hold more to them than do you do to holding your oath to God.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about. We ain't going to get into that either. You're taking blood oaths on the wrong thing. With Allah, you don't have to give a blood oath. You give your word, make the word bond. That's all.
Right.
To shed no blood. Or a contract. whatever. But, you know, the devils used his second uncle because they were aware of him, and they placed him within the Nation of Islam. You know,
right.
Just like I have in my book on page 17 and 18, the FBI memo from January the 7th, 1969.
Yes. Please speak.
And they mentioned the names. See, I got a chance. I'm a little older, so I got a chance to see the newspaper when Wallace put this memo on front of the Bilalian News. So he put the original redacted version on the paper. Right about now, you just have it when you pull it up doing your research, it just has Bureau deletion. But in the one I saw years back, he had the government redaction, and whoever did the redaction didn't quite black out those names as thorough as they should have been.
Right.
I was seeing some first and second and third letters of some people's names.
Right.
That were part of their little plot to undermine the Nation of Islam.
Right.
Officials in the Nation of Islam were FBI informants. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it quite clear. He said that the Nation of Islam, when right before his passing, was honeycombed full of hypocrites.
Yes, sir.
You ever see a honeycomb? Honeycombed with hypocrites. See, the messenger had a bunch of followers, a lot of people that were just there because of the momentum of the historical moment, but they were not reading and they were not studying. That's why they were able to be fooled by the second uncle.
Right.
See, Wallace is a version of the second uncle and some other ones.
Right.
If they weren't teaching what the messenger taught and thought they were wiser than the messenger and thought they had to go elevate and progress above this supreme wisdom, then they're hypocrites. How you going to go above the supreme? What's higher than supreme? It was supreme when the messenger was here, but when the messenger passed away, he taught baby talk, according to them. See, that's hypocrite talk. And you hear him say it. They had to evolve from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir. I heard that.
Really?
Quite a few times.
Evolve? You mean devolve? You went backwards, thinking you were going forward. Didn't the Quran tell you that Allah would have the hypocrites backwards? See? No, we're going to deal and get this right. Our job today, brother, is to try to straighten up the mess and to try to enlighten the younger members coming behind us to revisit the teachings of the messenger.
Right. Yes, sir.
Stop following somebody that you think can speak well.
Right.
Okay? Or charismatic.
Right.
Study on your own. You could read his books. They're at an eighth grade level.
Right.
Then ask questions. Then do the research.
Right.
But just don't be no blind followers. Time out for that.
Right. Right.
We're supposed to be ruling by our council. We're supposed to have you had Sister Rahima on, and she said the same thing I've been saying for years. We haven't had no one person ruling, running the whole show. You have 12 people.
Right.
With 12 different disciplines.
Right.
And run your nation.
Right.
Didn't the white man run his nation after the founding fathers by going by the Constitution? Their Constitution?
Yes, sir.
And once they went off their Constitution, what'd you see? They lost control.
Mm-hmm.
See? Once we got away from our Constitution,
right,
we lost it. It went out of control.
Right. Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, so many things that you said today was powerful and make me think, but one of the things you said was that if the second uncle had picked up the same baton and we had a seamless continuity, then we would have a lot more infrastructure than we have today. But unfortunately, the second uncle picked up their own baton and started selling many different forms of very passive-aggressive types of black Muslim Islam, and made it look like it was the Islam that, you know, that the brothers and sisters had in the first uncle. And so for me, I just think that with this third uncle, third generation, and the funny thing about this is, for me, is that I've been saying this for years now on Blog Talk Radio. I said there's a first generation, a second generation, and a third generation. And I think that the third generation is what we're dealing with now. But I think that the third generation, sir, in my humble opinion, is kind of confused because there's so much different schools of thought and ways of thinking out there that they're confused as to which thought, you know, is the most productive for them. And so some may look at the teaching on Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, and they may say, well, that, you know, the brothers and sisters are very disciplined, but they have this and they have that, they have this. And to me, if you don't come this way, you don't come this way. I'm over that at this point. But I do know that if you do need a discipline in your life and straightening and somebody to straighten you out, this should be available to you. And it should also, once you get it, it should make you become a contributing member to building that legacy that the second uncle dropped the ball on. That's my thought on it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, yes, we're in the rebuilding stage, the re-education stage to get people back to the core teachings.
Right.
Get yourself a copy of Message to the Black Man, 1964.
Yes.
It's Your Fall of America, 1972.
Right.
Our Savior Has Arrived. Get that.
Right.
Find you some copies of Supreme Wisdom Volume 1 and 2 from 1957.
You can get that on Amazon Kindle.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Read and then do something spectacular. Read them. Read the books after you. Read them. Yeah, I ask people, did you read Message of the Black Man? They say, I have it. I didn't ask you, did you have it? I asked you, did you read Message to the Black Man? Read it. Study it. Then do the research. How many of the 104, the Master Farah Muhammad gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a book list, a syllabus of 104 books?
104 books, yes, sir.
While you in your spare time and you bored, try to figure out which books are those 104.
Right.
Do some ancient digging. You know, you're going to run into books like The Anacalyptus by Godfrey Higgins and The Two Babylons and The Men Before Adam. Ancient and Modern Britain by David MacRitchie.
Yes.
You know, lightweight stuff like that.
Right. Stuff that you need to evolve from.
Yeah, you know. So you can be able to back up the teachings of the messenger. See?
Right.
Okay. And studying what Mr. Marcus Garvey said. Learn all of our, you know, study our black history until you master it. Ancient black history.
Right.
See. But see, Master Farah Muhammad came with a new Islam, not that stuff that you see over there.
Yes, sir.
And it shouldn't even be mixed in with Master Farah Muhammad's teachings because it's a new Islam.
Right.
We've always had the five pillars. What you call the five pillars is what we had all throughout our civilization here on this earth. But we renew ourselves, don't we?
Yes, sir.
The messenger told us that we always, we're the type of nation, of people, that we're always experimenting on ourselves. We always find out something new. And your scripture for the, everybody wants to quote scripture. Didn't your book say that God was going to make all things new?
All things new.
Well, Master Farah Muhammad come with a new Islam. Are you upset about that? You want the old white man's Islam over there, those Jews, they call them, those Arabs that, who are so-called, who are really Jews. You want to follow their version. And all they did was make it a heterodox form of Christianity. Muhammad didn't teach Christianity, but the Arabs have turned it into a heterodox version of Christianity.
Right.
See? You want everything but what our people want to give you, and it's something that was solid. Master Farah Muhammad gave us a message to his messenger, and his messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was able to shut the mouths of the greatest scholars in the history.
Right.
How are you going to evolve above that? Stop being a blind follower. That's the most message I can give to younger people today. Use your brain that God gave you. Get to understanding who you are as a person. Get to know your relationship with Allah. And make yourself into that man and woman that you're supposed to be. Not try to find yourself. Make yourself that person.
Right.
You have a God coming along that wants you to give you his mind, and then we want to reject the mind of God. That shows you that we are sick.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, it's about that time, sir.
All right, my brother. I do appreciate it. We just really scratched the surface, but we'll have more time to go a little deeper.
Allah willing, you'll be back in 2 weeks from now.
I pray we do. And I thank you for your time. And may Allah bless you with that, continue the great work that you're doing. And I really appreciate coming on your show and talking with you a little bit.
Yes, sir. We appreciate having you, sir. It's always a pleasure. It's always an honor. And we shall see you 2 weeks from now.
All right, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Yes, sir. Well, it's a flaw, sir.